All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shlokir bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 2, Verse 32. Yanyarvindakshavimuktamaninas Tvai astabhavata vishuddha buddhaya Aruya krichena param padam tatha Patanti adho anadritya yushmat angrayaha. Yenyarvindaksha vimuktamaninas Tvai astabhavata vishuddha buddhaya Aruya krichena param padam tatha Patanti adho nadrita yushmadangrayaha Yenyarvindaksha vimuktamanina Tvai astabhavata vishuddha buddhaya Aruya krichena param padam tatha Patanti adho nadrita yushmadangraya. Yanyarvindaksha vimuktamaninas Tvai astabhavata vishuddha buddhaya Aruya krichena param padam tatha patanti adhor nadrita yushmadangraya. Matajis. Yanyad vindaksha vimuktamaninas. Vayastabhavata vishuddha buddhaya. Aruya krichena parampadam tatha. Anam. Yanyarvindaksha vimuktamaninas. Tvayastabhavata vishuddha buddhaya. Aruya krichena parampadam tatha. Patantya donadrita yushmadangraya. Translation. Some may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods say, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. We'll not read the entire purport. It's very long. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Aivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namahom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare 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 Krishna, welcome everyone. So this morning we'll be discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto. So we recently celebrated Janmashtami with great festivities and pomp. So what is the understanding of Krishna's Janma and Karma? Is it necessary for spiritual salvation? Is it an option? That is what we will try to address in today's discussion. Is it necessary to accept the conception of God? So Janmashtami is about celebrating Krishna's appearance. Why does Lord appear in this world? Yada yada hi dharmasya. So he appears paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. He appears for annihilating the miscreants and to appeal and to attract his devotees. So acharyas say that the main reason Lord appears is to inspire and attract our hearts to him. Otherwise, all other things Krishna can easily delegate to other forces of material nature. So this verse clearly points out the difference in destination of those who don't accept Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet is indicating accepting Krishna's form, Krishna's personality, Krishna's leela, Krishna's name. So Krishna tattva, unless we accept and worship Krishna as a personal God, our liberation, Brahmaji is praying, devatas are praying in this shloka after the appearance of Sri Krishna, that those who don't take shelter of Krishna's form and worship him through bhakti, their liberation is only imagined. And very soon they will fall from that imagined status of liberation also. So why is this such a harsh rejection of those who don't accept? They are also doing a lot of tapas. They have gained enough jnana. They have done enough yajna. But all of it is on one side. And unless we accept Sri Krishna's personal form, none of it will bear any fruit. So how do we see this in today's society? So is this God consciousness relevant in today's modern society? Let's start from there and then come to 10th canto back again. So today's modern scientific, rational, empirical modern society has made many achievements in terms of advancement in technology, in terms of human comfort and overall development in general. Srila Prabhupada also acknowledges in the preface that we are no longer living in dark ages. This is an advanced age. We have access to so much facility. So, but one thing that Prabhupada calls it a pinprick in society. There is still a pinprick in society. Something is amiss. What we are unable to find even after all the scientific advancement is any semblance of friendship or peace. These are the states or goals which we have not achieved. If you look around, even in today's scenario, we are surrounded by conflict and war. Even after having all the organization, all the development, why are we not able to resolve this simple concept of friendship, peace, universal brotherhood? Why is there so much conflict and hatred between people? And this is at varying levels, from an individual family level to nation level. There are conflicts across the spectrum. People have given up the hope of now having a peaceful and friendly society. We take part in certain meetings of world peace. So there they take survey of people, random people across the street. They ask, is peace possible? Half the respondents say, it is not possible. It's too late. Let's give up hope. Don't be practical. Peace is not achievable. Why is peace not achievable? If we understand through the eyes of scripture, the atheism that is prevailing, that is leading to selfishness and conflict. It degrades into something called nihilism, where you don't think this world has any purpose and we as humans have any accountability. In that scenario, you don't need to care for anyone. You just live your full life at any expense, at the expense of harming other people, at the expense of harming the environment. Then you become the center of the universe, anthropocentric. So this is all because of having a godless civilization. You must have heard this story of when Srila Prabhupada was in New York. There was the crime rate in the 60s in New York was peaking off. It was very high. And Srila Prabhupada proposed to the superintendent of police, the chief of police, that we can solve your problem of high crime rate. And what was Prabhupada's proposal? Give us your city hall. We will have kirtans and that will purify the hearts of people and the crime will drop. So, do you think the police superintendent would have understood this? But this is, as simple it may sound, this is a very pertinent answer to our world problem. Coming back from a godless, impersonal civilization to a God-centric, God-loving civilization. In that, we will achieve peace and friendship across the world. Why? Because with God in the center, we will have connection with everyone. How are we connected to each other? It's through our common creator. So unless that, Maharaj says, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, all other theories or ideologies that you may accept are relative. They are wrong from some people's point of view and they are right from some other people's point of view. Until you come to the level of spirituality. At the level of spirituality, there is no argument. We are the soul and we are all a part of the divine creator. There is no argument in this. Till we come to this ideology, everything else will be subjective and argumentative. So this was such a beautiful essence Maharaj presents. So all the distress and inequality and disparity we have in society today is because of a godless, atheistic civilization. Sometimes that godlessness also takes a mask of religion, which is called impersonalism. That is what is addressed in this shloka today. You might be doing a lot of tapas for achieving moksha, but do you accept Krishna or not? That is the litmus test. Aruya krichena param padam tatha patanti adho anadrita yushmata angraya. Anadrita means disrespecting or disbelieving. Yushmat angraya, your lotus feet. So those who are not accepting Krishna's form, basically those who are not Krishna's devotees, they can only achieve what is called imagined liberation. Even their moksha is not real, it is imagined liberation. What is said in this shloka? Vimukta manina. Unko aisa lagta hai ki hum mukt ho gaye hain, par wo mukt nahi hue, wo unki manyata hai. Kyun nahi hue hai? Why? Because they have contaminated intelligence. A vishuddha buddhaya. This is their disqualification. Accepting that I am soul, accepting that there is a creator, but not acknowledging the form of the creator, not acknowledging the creator's naam, roop, gun, leela, which is what we as bhakta celebrate. In fact, for devotees, the sadhana is to chant Krishna's name, hear Krishna's leelas. That will purify us and take us to the highest destination. But for this, those who are non-devotees, even if they may endeavor hard through a path of tapasya, they will not achieve permanent results. So therefore, Krishna Leela, what we have been celebrating in the last 2 days, Krishna's Janma, it is Divya, it is transcendental. And it is not just a optional or a helpful element of our spirituality. It is the pivot or the basis of our bhakti. Janma karma cha me divyam. Once we know that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental, in chapter 4 in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, knowing that it's sufficient for you to go back to Godhead. How powerful is that? Just by understanding Krishna in truth, in perfection. So therefore this is important. We cannot have a grey area of understanding Krishna Tattva. We have to accept Krishna's Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela in its entirety. So, all of us as humanity are together, be it through science or be it through philosophy. Actually, there is not much difference between the two. Both are different processes of seeking knowledge or inquiring. One takes an empirical path of experimenting, observing. Other takes a scriptural path of transcendental knowledge. But the goal of both is to inquire and attain higher knowledge. So both are wise and inquisitive. Both are curious. And we should appreciate that commonality and not always conflict science with spirituality. They are both means of inquiry and understanding. So what we through modern science have not been able to understand and capture is, we have understood and mastered everything in material nature except for one thing: consciousness. What is this consciousness? You cannot approach it through mathematics or science. Even today, scientists are struggling to really understand and define what is consciousness. And after that, the discussion comes, what is the source of that consciousness? So this pursuit was already undertaken by our learned sages. So it was not that our Vedic heritage culture was any less advanced. Just the difference was that the rishis, they chose to focus their intelligence and energies not in creating comforts of life, but in giving a direction to the soul. We are in this world for X number of years. Would you want to make this temporary setting comfortable, or would you want to find a path to get a permanent destination? So the rishis were scientists who worked on this problem statement. Let's find the best way to get out. What are the sages asking Suta Goswami? They are asking, tell us, what is Ekanta Ashraya? What is the ultimate goal for humanity? What is the purpose of us being here? What is our ultimate goal? And second question they ask is, what is Saram? Or tell us the essence of scriptures, because there are too many scriptures and it's very confusing. Please tell us the essence of scriptures and tell us the ultimate goal for all humanity. These questions, and of course they ask about Krishna Leela. So you see from these questions the nature of the rishis. They were curious scientists, but they were not curious about matter. How to go to interplanetary travel, that's great. But they were curious about the journey of the soul. How can you go to different planets through a spiritual journey, not through a mechanical journey? So, our parampara of Bhagavad parampara or Sanatana Dharma, they give us this transcendental science, which scientific modern approach is not able to touch till today, the consciousness and the source of consciousness. Our Bhagavad tradition gives us directly through Bhagavad Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other such scriptures. Not just they tell us what is the ultimate source of everything, but they also tell us what is our relationship with Him and what is our duty in regard to that relationship. This is basically Sambandha Gyan. Who am I? Who is God? And what is my relationship with God? So the Sambandha Tattva is discovered and presented in Bhagavad tradition, which is totally missing from the pursuit of modern science. They have not been able to come to tell us what is the source of everything. And therefore, after we know what is the source of everything, we can act and we can live our lives in a way to fulfill that purpose. Why are we created? What are we meant to do? So therefore, Krishna's form, or which is symbolized here by Krishna's lotus feet, it is the process, it is referred to in these shlokas as a boat through which you can cross the ocean of samsara. That is Krishna's lotus feet. It is a very simple mechanism. It does not involve complicated philosophical argument and speculation. It doesn't involve very difficult postures. We take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and that is a boat to help us cross over samsara. Seems simple. How many of you think it is simple? Then why are some people not able to accept Krishna as he is? Namam duskritino moodha. So Prabhupada stresses a lot that some people might appear scholars in the eyes of the world. They might have great positions in this world. But what is our metric of seeing somebody is advanced or not? Do they accept Krishna's, or let's make it more broad-minded, make it more broad, that do they accept the concept of God? Otherwise, it's just like the example comes in this shloka. We know rice. Rice has a covering called husk. Once you remove the rice, the main edible part from the husk, what remains is only husk. They do this beating the husk. Once the rice is removed, as much effort, austerity, focus, meditation you do, it is like beating the husk. There will be no outcome because the rice is already missing. So when bhakti is missing from any process, it will not yield its final result. Even if the process is karma, jnana or yoga, they are able to give their end results because of the presence of an element of bhakti. Now if bhakti is predominant, that becomes pradhani bhuta bhakti and you get permanent results. If that bhakti is lesser in magnitude, it becomes guni bhuta bhakti and you don't get permanent results, you get temporary results. So just the difference, your desires are the same. The same person with the same set of desire, they approach someone other than Krishna, they get temporary results. With the same set of desires, akama sarva kamova, the person has not changed. But if they just change their object of worship and they approach Krishna, they get permanent results. Even those who approach Krishna with material desires, they get fulfillment of their desires and they get a position in Vaikuntha. So this is unique and special. What changed? The Krishna element changed. Otherwise the person was the same. Dhruva Maharaj is presented as an example of Ardo. So he started with expecting great goal of achieving a kingdom bigger than his father. But as soon as he took darshan of the Lord, it was like, now I don't want anything else. So, and Lord gave him a permanent destination in Vaikuntha. So the idea is, if we approach Krishna, we accept Krishna's form, we will get permanent results. And without that, whatever effort we do, that is not as significant as who you approach. Same we see in the world around us. Depending on the people we know, we can get so many things done, rather than just working hard ourselves. If you know the Prime Minister, if the Prime Minister is your friend, the equation changes. So similarly, if we are connected to Krishna, the benefit is eternal. And what does this shloka say specifically? So very beautiful points are brought out here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. He's saying, Dhruva Maharaj says, after seeing taking darshan of the Lord, he says, Swami kritharthosmin varam na yache. I am satisfied, O Lord, just by your darshan. I came to you with a different goal, but now my mind has changed. I have achieved something which I didn't imagine would be so great. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadikam. This is from Bhagavatam 6th canto. So Prabhupada points out, why is Krishna's lotus feet referred to as lotus? Arvind Aksha. We can see lotus only in the day. We cannot see lotus at night. So Prabhupada is saying, those who are not captivated by Lord's beauty, his glances, his beautiful leelas, they are somebody who cannot see a lotus even though it exists. That means they are in darkness. They are ignorant of Krishna's tattva. What do we need to see that lotus of Krishna's beauty? Prema. Just love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Once we have that, we'll be able to see the lotus which blossoms only in the day. So without shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, that means accepting Krishna's form, worshipping Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, we will only be able to imagine that we are liberated. There will be no real gain. And this is also mentioned in many shlokas in Bhagavatam. Like the one we spoke about, the beating of the husk. It said that if somebody gives up the path of devotional service, this is 10.14.4, Shreya Sritim Bhaktim Udaseye Vibho. That if somebody gives up bhakti, which is the best part for self-realization, and then they take up to the process of jnana, they will only undergo trouble and will not achieve the desired result. This is directly the shloka saying. And it will be equivalent to just, what will be their gain? Their gain is only the austerity that they are doing. Their gain is their tapasya. Their gain is not in any elevation of their consciousness or their destination. And very beautifully in the very next verse, Krishna explains what is so special about his devotees. Krishna goes that extra length to protect his devotees. If somebody accepts Krishna's form, worships Krishna, surrenders to Krishna, becomes a devotee of Krishna, it is called Baddha Sauhradya. Sauhradya. We are bound to Krishna, or we are attached to Krishna in love. That one quality will completely differentiate us from all other spiritualists who are trying to achieve moksha but are not accepting Krishna's form and Krishna's leela. So just by Baddha Sauhradam, that makes us qualified for Krishna's protection. And we have seen that in the Bhagavatam, especially in the section of Poshana, how Krishna protects his devotees. Bhagavatam beautifully presents the result. It first of all presents the highest path of bhakti, and then it presents the result of that path. How will it benefit the practitioner if they take to bhakti? So it is mentioned. Now let us talk of Krishna's appearance, Janmashtami and Krishna Leela. After having understood that it is essential to accept Krishna's form if we want any permanent result or salvation. Now specifically coming to Krishna's birth. Why does Krishna take birth? So Krishna's taking birth is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are not my words, these are Srila Prabhupada's words. Imaginative iconography. It means, if Krishna doesn't appear, people have no conception of God. Either they say there is no God, or being under the influence of the three gunas, they will create their understanding of God. So, Shloka 35 says, Krishna appears for two reasons, Vijnana and Ajnana Vidha. Beautiful section, beautiful shlokas. We celebrated Janmashtami, but what does Krishna's appearance actually mean for us in this world? First is Vijnana. Vijnana is realization. So when we hear Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, that is not a proposal. That is not a conception of God. That is Brahmaji's personal experience of God. Brahmaji is having that vision or samadhi. And in that samadhi, Brahmaji is seeing Sakshat Sri Krishna. And he is describing that in Brahma Samhita. So when Krishna is born, we get access to Vijnana. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of God. So Sambandha Gyan, as we discussed earlier, is to understand the Jiva Tattva, understand the Ishwar Tattva, and understand the connection between the two. So Krishna by appearing gives us Vijnana. So what Brahmaji is sharing with us is not just scripture which we have to take in faith. This is Brahmaji's supracognitive state. In Samadhi, he saw Krishna and he is narrating it to us. It is actual. Today for us, it is not a realization. It is Pramana. But by our practice, so there are three ways of evidence. Right? Pratyaksha, Anuman and Shabda. Right? Pratyaksha is what I experience. Anuman is what I theorize or calculate or speculate. And Shabda is what Vedic authority is telling us. So when Brahmaji is telling us how Krishna is, that is Shabda for us today. It does not need to stay Shabda for us forever. By our practice, that Brahmaji Shabda, for us, it will someday become Pratyaksha. That is the path of bhakti. It is not just a promise. It is an experience. That if you practice bhakti, you will experience Krishna like Brahmaji did. So you don't have to just take the words of scripture. Very soon that Shabda will become your Pratyaksha. Bhakti para esh anubhav. Bhakti means experiencing the para esh or the supreme Ishwar. So very beautifully, first one we saw the purpose or benefit of Krishna's appearance is to give us Vijnana, the actual experience of understanding Krishna. And second is Ajnana Vidha. Ajnana, all the misconceptions of God that are circulating in the market, all of them are destroyed once Krishna appears. Once Krishna appears, then nobody can say, this is how God is. No, we have Sakshat Bhagwan Sri Krishna appearing and giving to us by His example, His presence, that this is the understanding of God. He very kindly does that also in the Bhagavad Gita. So, once we have the presentation, Ajnana Vidha means by your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished. And the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. So till the time the sun rises, the glowworms look very bright. Once the sun rises, the glowworms become insignificant. Similarly, when Sri Krishna personally appears, there is no room left for speculation. This is God. Srila Prabhupada used to say it so assertively. We know who God is. We know His name. We know His address. We know His friends. Why don't you accept this? Do you have a better understanding of God? If yes, then we will accept it. But till then, you accept what we are presenting. So this is a unique gift of the Bhagavad Parampara. That's what we are trying to present. Even Shankaracharya, who is the leader of the people who follow Advaitavad, they don't accept a personal conception of God. They consider God to be Brahman. Sarva khalam ida Brahman. There is the only reality is Brahman. Everything else is mithya. Transient, temporary, insignificant. So even Shankaracharya, Prabhupada quotes him often. He also accepts and shares that Narayana paraha avyaktad. this vyakta, this manifested material world, is temporary, transient, immaterial. But beyond this vyakta is avyakta. And who is the superior among the avyakta? Narayano para avyakta. So he is accepting Narayana as the supreme. So he knew this is important. And he has sung such beautiful bhajans, Bhajagovindam, Krishnashtaka, where he celebrates Krishna's Bal Leela. So the idea is, whatever ideology you have, without accepting Krishna, Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, you will not attain a permanent result or salvation. How can we understand this? Simply by bhakti. Bhaktya maam abhijanati. How can you understand Krishna, which is unfathomable, beyond our material sense perception? Forget understanding God, we cannot even understand ourselves. We have a conception of the soul, but have you realized the soul? Do you really mean the Upanishads describe the soul as that which is indescribable, that which is cannot be captured or cannot be described? So if soul is so difficult to understand, how much more difficult is it to understand God or Ishvara? So we, unless God is merciful to us, when we approach Him through bhakti, He reveals Himself to us. Atah Shri Krishna namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai. Sevon mukhe hi jivado swayameva spurati adha. So how do we understand Krishna? By approaching Him with a humble service attitude and surrender and devotion. Then Krishna reveals Himself as He is, and we'll have no confusion left about anything. So the only ingredient we need is prema. Why does the Lord need to come to this world? He can give us this knowledge, right? Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji has personal vision of Krishna, and Brahma Samhita, we follow Brahma Samhita as Brahmaji Samadhi. We accept it. Why does Lord have to personally come to showcase His form, to demonstrate His leelas? Very beautifully and interestingly, Srila Jiva Goswami, quoting Madhvacharya, he gives the example of a drunkard person, somebody who is intoxicated, inebriated. Have you seen somebody intoxicated? Have you been intoxicated? I hope not. But just to make you experience, how does it feel to be in that state? Or if you, you know, are so absorbed in kirtan, people dance like mad, people dance like crazy. So either in a good or bad way, if somebody is intoxicated, drunkard, or somebody is absorbed in kirtan, let us take the example that Madhvacharya is giving of a drunkard person. Why does a drunkard person dance and sing? Nobody has ordered him to do it. Nobody has paid him to do it. He's not trying to impress anyone. Why is he doing it? Just to enjoy himself. That is the only reason for Krishna's appearance. He takes birth only for play or leela. There is no other reason for Krishna's personal appearance in this world. Because he's Atmaram, he's self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything from outside. And he's Aptakam. Even if he has any desires, he can self-fulfill it. He doesn't need to depend on anyone. The only reason Krishna appears is to experience joy, is to enjoy himself, and to make his devotees, those who love him, experience joy. This is the conclusion of Krishna's appearance. To enjoy and to share joy with those who love him. This is the essence of Krishna Leela and the essence of bhakti. So Krishna can do the creation, all of that is not important for him. Whether it is creating this material universe, killing a rakshasa, or playing with his friend, Krishna is interested in only one thing. How can I enjoy? There's a beautiful story which comes of a person from outside who was visiting India and trying to study the history and culture and tradition of India. So he said, I have seen all gods and I am convinced that Krishna is the supreme. Somebody asked why? Because everyone else has a role to do. They have either astra in their hand or they have something that they are doing. It is only Krishna who is just playing a flute. He has no business to do. So that is Krishna's purpose of appearing, that he has really no purpose. It is only for his enjoyment and for kindly, compassionately sharing that joy with us. Otherwise we are anyways suffering in the trapatraya. So from we are burning in that scorching heat of the three miseries and the threefold tapa, to share that joy with us, to share that amrita with us, help us come towards him, that is the purpose of Krishna's appearance. So Krishna Leela we should not take cheaply. Krishna Leela is an invitation. It's a gateway to Goloka. We can actually participate in Krishna Leela. It is not just that this is a movie show where you come, you pay a ticket, you see, you get second hand enjoyment, you go back. No, Krishna is inviting you into his world of joy and Leela. That is our goal in bhakti, to become a parshada, a das of Krishna. You think it is a small thing? It is a very lofty proposal. You want to become friends with God. No other religion dares to say this. They say, yeah, we'll surrender, we'll go to his planet, we'll gain heaven. But to have friendship with Krishna, to have loving relationship with Krishna, that is exclusively the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumartho Mahan. And very beautifully, Krishna's leelas are encapsulated or captured in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Mad Eka Bandhu Mad Sanghi Mad Nistaraka. If I have a friend, it is Bhagavatam. If I have a savior, it is Bhagavatam. If I have a companion, it is Bhagavatam. We should try to learn the mood of our acharyas, that this is the pivot of our bhakti. Everything rests on how are we connected to Krishna Leela through Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is such a masterpiece that it addresses everything from cosmology to atomic particles to biology to transcendence. Everything is captured in Srimad Bhagavatam. So very interestingly, I'll just speak a little bit about the beauty of Bhagavatam. We as humans are weak. We have a nature to succumb to our weaknesses. But Krishna does not give up hope. Krishna sends his devotees. Krishna sends scriptures. And sometimes Krishna himself appears. Why? So there are these two paradoxes, the contradiction that you have to understand and accept in life to be in equanimity. This also applies to someone you are trying to help. They might, all of us by nature are frail and weak. We will succumb to our weakness. And one of the most fascinating aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, which I found when I was discovering it initially, was that it is discussing the weakness of its characters. It's discussing the weakness of its heroes. No, really. Because generally, it's a one-pointed narrative. You have a protagonist, a hero, and you're only talking great things about that. But no, Bhagavatam does not do that. It shows how grace, Krishna's grace, can help overcome human weakness. So our nature as conditioned human being is to be frail and succumb, vulnerable to fall down. But Krishna does not give up hope. And that combination is where we can be optimistic. I don't have the strength myself to overcome my conditioning, but Krishna is not giving up hope on me. So you help somebody, they will go back to their old habits, very much possible. Does that mean you should distance yourself and say, "Ye hopeless case hai"? Krishna is not giving up hope on the jiva, so who are we to give up hope? Are we superior to Krishna? So this is the contradiction that we have to live with, that you have to reach out even if the person is not taking it up. You have to give them the guidance, the shelter, the support, and sooner or later they will. So this is such a beautiful way to look at the world. Otherwise, there is so much evil in the world, the problem of evil. This is a philosophical concept. And how every religion defines this is very unique. For us, as in the tradition of Bhagavad, we define evil as weakness of human mind. It is not about the person. Hate the sin, not the sinner. The disease can be overcome. Don't just cast them into hell forever. With reformation, with inspiration, they can be a changed person. So many examples of weakness, fall down, and overcoming that failure are presented in Bhagavatam. Ajamil, he succumbed to weaknesses. And what saved him? Chanting of Krishna's name, Krishna Nama. Indra, when Indra was cursed by his guru, Brihaspati. Now, Indra is the hero. He is the head of all devatas. He is the king of Swarga. But Bhagavatam goes on to talk about all aspects of his life, where he failed, where he displayed his weakness. So even Indra had to undergo 1,000 years of meditation to come back to his position. Then there is the story of Jaya and Vijaya. They were Krishna's parshada, as intimate as it can get. But even they displayed weakness. And they had to undergo reformation. For 3 lifetimes they had to take birth as demons. And of course, the scene where Srimad Bhagavatam starts, Parikshit Maharaj, he succumbed to weakness. Very common, commonplace, mundane weakness of hunger and thirst. A Raja of such ability being unable to control his thirst, and that leading him to be cursed to die. And in the response to that curse, he's able to hear Krishna Katha for 7 days without water. So this is how Bhagavatam presents that we are weak, but with Krishna's grace, Krishna's Naam, Krishna's Rupa, Guna, Leela, we can be restored to perfection. There's a beautiful book by His Holiness Satsvarup Maharaj. It's called From Copper to Touchstone. As we keep practicing bhakti, we will achieve perfection. So that is the power of bhakti. And not just describing human weakness, Bhagavatam also celebrates Krishna's beauty. Who is Bhagavatam meant for? It is mentioned at the start. Mur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. It is meant for rasic people, those who are interested in rasa. They don't stop at jnana. Jnana is good. It helps you detach from this world. But you are not left in a no man's land after that. You have a superior taste. Param drishtva nivartate. You have a rasa. Bhagavatam gives us that rasa. And that rasa is Krishna Leela. Then Bhagavatam also goes on to display a lot of role reversals. Role reversal means what appears in ordinary way of life as a hierarchy is turned upside down in Bhagavatam. It's turned on its head in Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, Rakshasas are considered to be negative and Devatas are considered to be superior. But Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they are examples of a role reversal. Somebody in the family of Danavas can be a pure devotee. So it makes your head spin. Wait, what? It shows role reversal in terms of wives being smarter than their priestly Brahmana husbands. The Brahmanas who were doing yagya vahi Vishnu, idam Krishnaya idam namama, they could not recognize when Swayam Krishna is coming and begging for food. But their wives recognized. Again a role reversal. Devahuti, Kunti, Maharani. Our highest aspiration in the path of bhakti, the gopis. So this is again a role reversal. The queen, the gopis, the simple cowherd village women are our aspiration and role model. For an outsider who is not conversant with Bhagavad, they will, are you serious? We should pursue something that is scholarly and great. We want to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavadhus, the milkmaids of Vrindavan, who are uneducated, Uddhav got that paradigm shift when Lord sent him to meet the gopis in Vrindavan. So Uddhav, when we go on Parikrama Mark of Vrindavan, as we approach Uddhav Kund, there is a beautiful, I just read a saying that Uddhav bajaye gyan ka dhamru, gopi bajaye prem ki dhafli. Basically trying to say that gopi's love completely confused Uddhava's intellectual scholarship. So again, and the best example, and it is also a characterization of Bhagavatam. In other scriptures, when there is a mention to Bhagavat, there is either a mention to Devi Bhagavat or there is a mention to Bhagavat Puran. When they are mentioning Bhagavat Puran, you know how they are pointing out to Srimad Bhagavatam? As that Purana in which the story of Vritrasur comes. Why such a special importance to this story? Again, because of a role reversal. If you read other Puranas, Indra will be shown as having defeated Vritrasur. But if you go into the mind and mood of Indra and Vritrasur, again there is a role reversal. No, actually it was a demon who was a greater devotee than Indra, who was a formal devotee. So this depth is explored only in Srimad Bhagavatam. We will not get this depth elsewhere. So even at the conclusion of the episode of Samudra Manthan, it says, it concludes, what is the greatness of Krishna Leela? Yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam samasta samsara parishramapaham. Chanting the glories of Shri Krishna is the only means to annihilate all the sufferings of this material world. So this is the importance and the key role of Krishna Leela in our lives. And we have to question how much priority, time and energy are we giving to it. So just in the context of Janmashtami, Lord Krishna's appearance and his beautiful form and leelas, we thought we'll present the importance and benefit of and the beauty of the path of bhakti. So thank you very much. If anyone has any questions. Yeah, we can have one question. Yes, sir. It's over time, so if somebody has anything to attend to, they can please proceed. It's okay. We'll continue a little bit.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you mentioned about Srimad Bhagavatam, that's Krishna consciousness is one of the best, which takes above Sakyarasa and above. And in no other religion or no other places it mentions about this kind of level. But all other religions other than Krishna consciousness is more prevalent in the world. Why it is so? They are more popular and than the hardcore Krishna consciousness. And people just move out because of the four regulative principles and chanting Hare Krishna. When sorry for such a question.
No. Every inquiry is a good inquiry. The only foolish question is the question not asked. So, you go around the world, you see people wearing jewelry. How much of it is real gold and how much of it is imitation gold? Why is that popular? See, we are not using the metrics of popularity. Somehow in today's scenario, popularity has become the marker for everything. If something is popular, that means it is good, but it is not so. In fact, this is very systematically manipulated in society. What is called as pop culture, pop science, pop religion. Pop means popular. There is a vast depth of knowledge, but somebody will come and make some element out of it popular. To make anything popular, you have to appeal to the audience. The closer it is to their understanding, the more people will subscribe to it. And the farther the concept, your proposal is from their current understanding, there will be less seekers. So the pyramid is always heavy at the bottom. People, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita that many people are so deeply engrossed in the bodily consciousness of life. I mean, they have only lived this, not just in this current lifetime, but in so many previous lifetimes, you have only experienced what it is to be a body. For them, the concept of soul is very difficult to understand. And after that, the concept of God is like impossible. So therefore, we are offering something that's, it is supposed to come to us through a natural evolution, through karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. But will a jiva organically gravitate to it? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, not necessarily, at least in Kali Yuga. They might be stuck in that loop. So, one way to look at it is that it is a very high aspiration. Bahunam janmanamante or manushyanam sahasrishu. Shri Krishna accepts it. Not many will come to the path of, first of all, inquiring the goal of life. Then even those who are religious, spiritual, even within that there will be very few who are actually understanding the concept of God. So this is Shri Krishna's own words. Mahunushanam sahasrishu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Siddhanam api kaschin veti yomam tattvataha. Where a rare fraction understands me in truth. So it is just the compassion of Lord Chaitanya, compassion of Lord Krishna, that he is making all of this available to us, the compassion of our acharyas. Otherwise, if devotees, if Shri Krishna had not appeared in this world and in our lives, we were on a very different path of life. So it is their mercy which gives us the qualification to understand all this. By our own strength, we were not, at least I was not anywhere coming close to this understanding of life. So it is something very far-fetched for the jiva because of their deep conditioning. Therefore, there are not many subscribers to it. And what gains popularity sometimes becomes the prominent narrative. So people are defining spirituality in their own words. Everyone is using the word spiritual. It's become a, you know, new pop spirituality. I meditate. But their understanding of meditation is not related to anything that we know meditation as. So, yes, Mataji. That satisfies you, bro, a little bit, yeah. Yes, Mataji, please.
Prabhu, this is not a question. Just a question Prabhu asked to, I remember.
Sure.
Same question was asked to Gurudev. And he said that, you know, if the question was asked that, you know, if this philosophy of bhakti is so pure, then how is that people are getting attracted to the other philosophy? You see lakhs and lakhs of crowds. So Gurudev said that is an armchair philosophy where you sit at the coffee table and just discuss about philosophy, you know, just discuss. Main ye karta hoon, mera bhi guru hai, you know, like that. He said, bhakti is, you need to go deep into your heart and give up your sense gratification to get attracted to Krishna, to receive His love. He said, there is a big difference. He says, it's a difficult task. Bhakti is not going to be easy. So obviously, there will be more attraction toward this than to this.
Haribol, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. That was a perfect answer to a perfect question. In the conditioned state, we will not be attracted, but in the purified state, we will be happy we chose it. So, Prabhupada said, we don't want many stars, we want few moons. I am looking for a moon. Because this was discussed. Many people are going to very popular gurus. Prabhupada said, they don't have any regulations, so naturally they will go. It becomes, in fact, a lot of religions, I mean, it's a little bold to say this, but if you study deeply, objectively, I'm not saying out of sentiment, many religions are only a backdoor to materialism. They want to continue doing what they're doing, but because it is not noble in the eyes of the world, they want to have a garb of religion. I'm a religious person. But is your lifestyle any different from a materialistic person? That is the question we have to ask. So we want Prabhupada's many, not many stars, but we want a moon. Yes, Prabhupada. Mm-hmm.
They were totally engrossed into Hare Krishna kirtans. So it is there within the heart. It is not
yes.
that, because the children are always attracted to all outside. But they were, when they were here, they were totally, totally engrossed. As you said, intoxication. They were into it.
Correct.
For that particular span of time.
Mm.
But how it gets molded in a further stage, it depends.
It is a means of joy without any addiction, without any price. It is the highest taste. Stay high forever. So we all want to stay high, but bhakti gives us, Krishna element gives us that opportunity to stay high forever. I met those kids and they said they were enjoying like anything. So where is that coming from? It is not a normal dance. It is kirtan which is attracting the soul, and that is what all of us at the soul level are looking for. Love. And connecting to Krishna, Krishna gives you. And you are fulfilled. Then you don't need to do all the external practices of restraint. It happens organically. Savai mana Krishna pada arvindaya. So that is the beautiful organic process of bhakti. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.